given that it is so unlikely to be true, it has to be advertised as very, very scary indeed, to balance its implausibility and retain some deterrence value. I also put her in touch with the therapist she mentioned, Jill Mitten, a delightful and deeply sincere woman whom I had interviewed on camera. Jill had herself been raised in a more than usually odious sect called the Exclusive Brethren, so unpleasant that there is even a website entirely devoted to caring for those who have escaped from it. Jill Mitten had been brought up to be terrified of hell, had escaped from Christianity as an adult, and now counsels and helps others similarly traumatized in childhood.
If I think back to my childhood, it's one dominated by fear. And it was the fear of disapproval while in the present, but also of eternal damnation. And for a child, images of hellfire and gnashing of teeth are actually very real. They're not metaphorical at all.
I then asked her to spell out what she had actually been told about hell as a child. And her eventual reply was as moving as her expressive face during the long hesitation before she answered.
It's strange, isn't it? After all this time, it still has the power to affect me when you ask me that question. Hell is a fearful place. It's complete rejection by God. It's complete judgment. There is real fire. There is real torment, real torture. And it goes on forever, so there is no respite from it.
She went on to tell me of the support group she runs for escapees from a childhood similar to her own, and she dwelt on how difficult it is for many of them to leave.
The process of leaving is extraordinarily difficult. Ah, you are leaving behind a whole social network, a whole system that you've practically been brought up in. You are leaving behind a belief system that you have held for years. Very often you leave families and friends. You don't really exist anymore for them.
I was able to chime in with my own experience of letters from people in America saying they have read my books and have given up their religion as a consequence. Disconcertingly many go on to say that they daren't tell their families or that they have told their families with terrible results. The following is typical. The writer is a young American medical student.
I felt the urge to write you an email because I share your view on religion, a view that is, as I'm sure you're aware, isolating in America. I grew up in a Christian family, and even though the idea of religion never sat well with me, I only recently got up the nerve to tell someone. That someone was my girlfriend, who was horrified. I realised that a declaration of atheism could be shocking, but now it's as if she views me as a completely different person. She can't trust me, she says, because my morals don't come from God. I don't know if we'll get past this. And I don't particularly want to share my belief with other people who are close to me because I fear the same reaction of distaste. I don't expect a response. I only write to you because I hoped you'd sympathise and share in my frustration. Imagine losing someone you loved and who loved you on the basis of religion. Aside from her view that I am now a godless heathen, we were perfect for each other. It reminds me of your observation that people do insane things in the name of their faith. Thanks for listening.
I replied to this unfortunate young man, pointing out to him that while his girlfriend had discovered something about him, he too had discovered something about her. Was she really good enough for him? I doubted it. I have already mentioned the American comic actor Julia Sweeney and her dogged and endearingly humorous struggle to find some redeeming features in religion and to rescue the God of her childhood from her growing adult doubts. Eventually, her quest ended happily, and she is now an admirable role model for young atheists everywhere. The denouement is perhaps the most moving scene of her show, Letting Go of God. She had tried everything, and then...
As I was walking from my office in my backyard into my house, I realised there was this little teeny-weeny voice whispering in my head. I'm not sure how long it had been there, but it suddenly got just one decibel louder. It whispered, "There is no God." And I tried to ignore it, but it got a teeny bit louder. "There is no God. There is no God. Oh my God, there is no God." And I shuddered.